this lesson, I don't know why, but it's really, really don't feel like I have any place to be teaching this, because my family's still young. I guess I say young. Becky and I have been married 21 years. We got 3 kids. We got Sarah, Sam, and Aaron. Sarah's 20. I still don't feel like I have a grasp on the whole family thing, you know. But that's what this lesson is going to boil down to, is our families and self. Talked on the self-governing ourselves last week. And the next step is family government. I've tried. I've seen the mistakes in my, and we'll see in some of this a little later here, that the mistakes that we make raising our children, you'll see them later. And I've kind of seen some of that. So that's why I kind of feel like, man, I'm not the right person to be up here trying to discuss this. But I can tell you this. Becky and I have been married 21 years. And when I come home from work, I know some folks, they just come home and do whatever. But when I get home, my place is kind of like a safe haven or a retreat or something. Like the things of the world just kind of fade away. I enjoy coming home to see Becky and the 2 boys. The last time Sarah was home, she told me she was probably going to get a job up in Michigan. And it kind of was hard to see her leave that time. The other times it was easy to see her leave because I knew I'd see her lose. I was seeing her about every once a month or so. But that last time she went to leave, I knew she wasn't coming back. And it was a little bit more difficult. But I definitely don't feel like I'm the person to do this. But we're going to start here in Genesis. And we're going to talk on this family government. So first of all, we know we discussed some things last week about how we need to self-govern ourselves. And that's the way that the Lord has set it up. The less we govern ourselves, the more we give power to the civil governments to govern us. And that's not the way it was set up to be. So we're going to look here at Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to see, we're going to find here that the first governing institution and how God emphasized its importance. So we're going to read here in verse 26. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So we see here that God created man and woman, and that's our first family right there in the creation. But not only did he create the first family there, he told them to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over everything on the earth. He set authority in place right there. Family has the first authority. And as we can see here, that there is only one above man, and that was God himself. So the man and the woman were supposed to report to God and nothing else. They had dominion over everything else. And that's a clear show there of starting of the line of authority, which as we go through this, hopefully it will come out that there's a line of authority. So then let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1, now that we see that the first family is set. Proverbs chapter 1. And let's think on this. How is self-government developed? And what are some of the influences that attempt to destroy the training ground for self-government? So we see that the family's been established. The man and the woman are the first family there, Adam and Eve, and that they are to report to God as the ultimate authority. And so now we're going to see how that self-government that we talked about last week starts to be developed. So let's read in Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to read verses, we'll start in 7 and go through 15. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And it says here in verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, Come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purpose. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." So we see here in verse 8, it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." So how is self-government developed? It is by children listening to their parents. But their parents need to have that self-government taught that we taught last week. So when the parents are responsible for teaching their children the principles of self-government through oral instruction and personal example, and children are responsible for obeying the instruction of their parents. And then we had that other question there. It said, what are some of the influence? So we read some of them down here that we got the influencers. Our families are under attack in our own nation. And it seems to me like if they can, the world can attack our families and destroy the foundations there of our families, they can do whatever they want. And we kind of see it, the original setup of the family is under attack with it. And our government doesn't seem to mind much. They seem to be helping it. So I don't try to get into politics or what our government's doing, our civil government's doing, because that's really not what this is about. This is about ourselves and our families here. But our families are under attack, and they're from the outside source, outside world. All different directions it comes from, to influence our children not to follow after the ways of the Lord or to even listen to their parents anymore. So, but self-government is developed within the family, and it is taught by the parents. So let's look at 1 Samuel. So now that we see the family is the Adam and Eve were the first family. God gave them authority over everything. And that in that family is where self-government is taught. First Samuel chapter 2. I got an example here. With the question of the thought is, what is the result of poor family government? So we know what we're supposed to do, right? It's pretty easy. Well, it's not easy. It's easy to say. Trust me, it's easy to say. But I got an example here of the result of a poor family government, which should be an eye-opener to us to try to raise our families correctly. So let's read here in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and let's start in verse 12. This is, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servants came while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh until all the Israelites that came thither. Also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desire, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. And let's read down here, verse 22. It says, now Eli was very old, and heard of all the thing, or heard that, and Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil doings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for if it is no good report that I hear, ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. And the children and the child Samuel grew on, and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And there came a man unto God, of God, unto Eli, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thy arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thy house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thy house forever. And the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from my altar shall be to consume thy eyes and to grieve thy heart, and all the increase of thy house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, in one day they shall die both of them. And I will rise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thy house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into the priest's office, that I may eat a piece of bread. So this is our example of family government gone poorly. And I know... And I don't have an answer for this, but I also know Samuel's sons went wrong, and kind of discussed that a little bit last week. That's why the children of Israel came and asked for a king. I got no idea why Eli and his sons got what they got, and Samuel and his sons got what they got. There's something there in the way of something. One day I'll know, but right now I don't. But this, we got Eli, and the result of a four-family government just ain't the family falling apart, but it suffered the whole children of Israel, the whole nation suffered because of Eli's sons doing bad and not doing correctly. It made the whole children of Israel not want to do sacrifices of God because of what Eli's sons were doing. So, let's look at 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 3. So I know Brother Wayne been preaching on this lately, I guess about a month ago or so now, on the qualifications of a pastor. And so I know these qualifications are here for a pastor, but I think there's some of this that we can pull out of this that is useful to everybody, not just for being a pastor. So the thought is here is, what is the relationship between effective self-government and other areas of government, such as family, church, and civil institutions? And we're going to read here 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll start here in verse 7. It says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil." So I read this. So this is the qualifications of a pastor, of a bishop. But the part I take out of this that we can use is in verse 4 and 5, "One that ruleth his own house well, having the children, his children in subjection with gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" And where I'm getting at this, the person who can govern himself well will be able to govern his family. So if we can self-govern ourselves, we can then our families can be right. Because then we'll know how to manage ourselves. We can manage our families. Our kids can be kept. So it comes down to the management part, I guess, is what I'm trying to get to, is being able to manage a family. And if we can't manage ourselves, how are we supposed to manage our families? If we can't manage ourselves and manage our families, how are we supposed to branch out and be an effective person at our jobs, or like here in the church, or other places? All right, so let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. And as we're trying to show that we need to self-govern ourselves, and then we're able to teach in our families, how does the governing function of the family affect the supply of godly leaders in a society? Which we can see that our families are under attack. You can just look out in the world these days in society and see that. Children ain't being taught how to govern themselves. I guess I'll say it that way. So we're look at here in Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm not going to read this whole chapter, but we're going to just read start here in verse 20. The thought is that the family is the training ground for leaders. It says here, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thee, thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thy eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy works be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." So the family government is the training ground for leaders. So in our families, you know, I heard a while back, many years ago, it was said that, you know, our children are going to become our future leaders, our future bosses, future government leaders, and that we needed to teach them properly. Here in chapter 4, over here in verse 1, it says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." And it goes down a little bit further. Verse 10, it says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Verse 20, it says, "My son, attend to my words." And then continues to go down. That is the parents teaching their children. Listen to me. I have the examples. I have the Bible. We're trying to teach you godly principles while you are in the house, so that when you leave and go out, you can function, and that you can be a valued Christian citizen in society, not just a citizen in society. Because we got plenty of citizens in society right now, but we need more Christians. But children learn by example, while the parents teach them practical experiences in the knowledge of God's Word. And I'll tell you this, that's easier said than done. Right now, I got Sam at 13 and Aaron at 10. They're a little easier to, when they have questions, to, you know, to guide them or to direct them on what they need to do. My daughter at 20 in college, trying to make life decisions that will affect her for the rest of her life, her questions are a little bit more a little bit more challenging. They're not as easy to answer. And you know, I understand it. I was her age one time, but I didn't have such high dreams as she did, I guess. So, you know, I just wanted to get a job, go to work, whatever. She's got some bigger dreams in store, you know, that one wrong mistake could affect her for a little while or whatever. So she's getting close to wrapping up college and looking for to go out and get her master's and continue on in her field of study that she wants. And the summer came up jobs for her, so she had to pick, you know, jobs and some other things. And she applied for one thing in the school, and one of her professors was going to give her a different job doing something else. Then when she got denied for that one thing in school, they offered her actually two other jobs. And now she's got three job offers. She's got to figure out which one she wants to take, you know. Difficult decisions to make, because they all affect her resume. They all affect her major. They all affect her career. You know, my sons, they're easy questions to discuss and figure out. You know, it's all easy to point to the Bible, but you know, when they're sitting there looking for a direct answer, it's kind of difficult. But you know, the home or the family is the training ground, and from there we can teach, and when they move out, they can function. That's what I tell my kids. I want to teach you in the home now so that when you leave this house, you can function in this world. So there in Proverbs 4, basically telling us that the parents need to teach our children and our children need to listen. Let's look in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, real quick, I got to hurry this up. So that line of order or authority that we found in the beginning when God created man and woman, put them in over dominion over everything. So here we go. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm just going to read two verses here. Try maybe three. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." So what I'm trying to establish here is the order of authority. So we have here in this verse, you got the head of Christ is God, the head of man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man. So let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And let's read. Three, 18. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." So we see here that the order, the authority is being laid on how it works, kind of like a line of communication or a line of authority. You know, without that line of authority, we can see that things just go to chaos. So one last verse real quick. Let's Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read verses 1 through 4. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So we can see here that it's our job to teach our children, and it's their job to obey and honor. And that's all I got. So our families are important, and they're under attack. And we need to know how to teach our children. And it's our job. It ain't the world's job. I'm not trying to say that, you know, sending children to public school is a bad thing. We homeschool our children. Becky decided that's what she wanted to do, so I was all for it. It's been a blessing to our children. I really do. And the more the world seems to be the way it is, it seems to be the right choice, at least for us. So hopefully you'll see the importance of the family and how we need to make sure our families are taken care of and governed by the biblical principles and follow after the Lord as it comes down to an individual. Try to teach my kids it's individually. You know, the whole family is one thing. You had Adam blame Eve for eating the apple, and you had Eve blame the serpent. If we just do what we need to do ourselves, then everything else will fall into place. That's all I got. Brother Cecil, would you just